We are going to go back to the Iowa State Fair. We know that everything is passed and packed up and moved on, but we still have some great discussions to come. We've already talked about dairy, pork, free trade. We're going to be talking about ag teachers. And today we're going to be discussing turkey. Want to let you know this is one of three podcasts that Iowa Public Television's Market to Market produces. The Market Analysis and Market Plus, which are done each and every week as part of the TV show. But then this MTOM released every Tuesday. We would love to have you subscribe so you never miss an episode. Tell a friend, give us a rating, share with a friend. Hey, we just want more people to be in our circle. We think we're having some good discussions and we just want others to hear about it. Hey, coming up, we're going to be talking about a trip to Connecticut. And we also have a great episode talking about presenting rural life and agriculture in a different way, in a very funny way. We have a good laugher coming your way soon. So that's what we've been doing here on MTOM. If you have any feedback, hit me up, markettomarket@iptv.org, or you can just email me direct, paul.yeager@iptv.org. Like, subscribe, share. We'd like it all. Just share your favorite episode with a friend and let it go at that. With that, let's get back to the Iowa State Fair. We're at the Iowa Turkey Federation booth, and joining us now is Greta Irwin, who is the executive director of the Iowa Turkey Foundation, and or the Federation, not Foundation, because we should just start again. But the Federation is Iowa Turkey Growers. And so how big is turkey in Iowa?
Well, in Iowa, we actually rank about 7th or 8th right now in production across the United States, and we're 5th in processing. So that just really shows we have lots of great small family farms out there that are raising turkeys to keep our processing plants going. We have Tyson Foods in Storm Lake, and that facility has been processing turkeys for a lot of years up in Storm Lake. And then we have West Liberty Foods down in West Liberty, Iowa, our producer-owned cooperative, and that facility has also been producing turkey for a long time down there in West Liberty. So two really great companies in Iowa that really support our turkey farmers, and in turn then, of course, support our grain farmers and our local economies as well. So big part of value added here in Iowa by raising turkeys.
Well, we are at Iowa, and we're right in the heart of the Iowa State Fair as we're having this conversation, mm-hmm. Greta. I'm looking around here at your booth, and it's a nice tented area where people can sit down, and I see 1, 2, 3, 4 turkey legs right there.
Yeah.
You need to have 4 more out there.
Yes, we do. We do. You know, the turkey legs is something we started with 36 years ago when we started our food stand. And so they have just been a tradition that we keep continue to have here. The turkey legs come from Iowa. They're processed and smoked here in Iowa. And they're served here at the Iowa State Fair to all of our hungry fairgoers. And, you know, it's a tradition that it's so fun to watch grandparents come in with their grandkids and they have those turkey legs and the kids grab those legs, and a lot of them are very successful in eating one of them.
What's it like being in one of those top 5 on the bingo card that people have of things that they have to do at the fair? One of them is to have a turkey leg.
Yeah, I think it's just great because, you know, the turkey legs, again, are something that most people are not serving at home. It's a great fair food item to come out here and enjoy. And, you know, they're 2 pounds is what the turkey legs are nowadays. And so it's a great item to share, but we do sell a lot to go home. We'll wrap them up, put them in a bag, and, you know, they take it home to grandma or grandpa or somebody who can't make it to the fair so they still get a taste of the Iowa State Fair, even though they weren't able to visit it.
So is turkey leg the only thing on the menu?
Oh, no. We have got our turkey tenderloin. We have not had on the menu for about 2 years, which was more of just a processing and packaging issue of finding the right company and folks to do that for us. So that is turkey breast meat that is marinated. Then we slow grill that, and then that's served in a hot dog bun. And that has gone over really wonderful this year. Lots of people are really happy to see that product back because it's really focusing and featuring turkey in the way that turkey is thought of. It's a healthy grilled item. It's only 1 gram of fat, about 166 calories for that sandwich. So it's, like I tell people, it's something you're going to sit down, enjoy, have a great treat, but then eat that funnel cake and not feel so guilty. So it's a great trade-off to have at the fair, and it's become a very big fair tradition as well.
I didn't know there was any guilt at the fair. I thought it was just eat until you're silly. That's what I think I did on Tuesday, and I'm amazed I'm still upright today. But that's kind of the thing that happens. So
it does.
Working your booth, you know, some commodity groups have farmers from around the area. Do you have a similar setup there?
We have for a number of years, and the farmers have been great at supporting the stand and coming out and helping it, but their dedication is to their turkeys first. So come July, and I'm asking them to sign up in August to come work the state fair, a lot of them are like, well, if you can tell me what the heat and humidity is, I know whether I can be away from my birds and have somebody else watching them, or do I need to be there? And so it got really difficult for farmers to make that commitment over the years. So we switched, and we now have a company or group that we work with. He kind of forms together a group and manage and runs the stand for us. And it's been going really, really well for us that way.
That allows you an opportunity then to kind of mingle among the folks that come and that are stopping. What do you say if you get a chance to talk to someone?
Well, you know, most people just really want to know a little bit about our industry. You know, where did the turkey come from? It came from Iowa. It either came from Storm Lake or it came from West Liberty. And, you know, most people are just happy to be here and know that they're supporting the Iowa turkey farmers. The money we raise from this stand go back to our organization, helps us promote our industry, helps communicate with consumers, and helps really support the farmers and help them do what they cannot do on the farm by having our trade association. So when people are here and they enjoy some great turkey, they know that they're helping support those farmers and really hopefully keeping those farm families on the farm for another generation or two.
Well, and that the generations of farms, today happens to be the day that the Century Farms and the Heritage Farms are being awarded, and you see these people that have matching shirts. It's like being at Disney, you know, everybody's matching and it says where they're from, and that is just part of agriculture's story. It's been that way. I have raised those. My grandparents rose, you know, and before that. And generations is just so important to agriculture. But, I mean, we know agriculture's changing a tiny bit. Some of that is a little bit in jeopardy. How do you work on making sure we get to that fourth or fifth generation on some of those farms?
Well, I think that's where the turkey farms and the turkey operations have allowed a lot of that second and third and fourth and fifth. I have one farmer, it's a sixth generation farmer, you know, that to come back to the farm. You know, they're looking for some diversity, adding the turkey barns and helping bring back a son or a daughter to the farm. The turkey barns have been able to do that for a lot of those families. So whether you're working with Tyson with your marketing agreement or you're with West Liberty Foods, you know, they're both great opportunities for people to have that market access and to raise some turkeys. So we're seeing lots of new young farmers come in, especially with the northwest corner of Iowa with Tyson. And that's been really exciting to see these, you know, young people come back and join the farm because there's another opportunity for income besides just having maybe cattle or hogs and grain. There's another adding another revenue stream to that operation.
To the menu. We know who Tyson is. West Liberty Foods is a little different. It used to be a larger corporation, and then that kind of changed.
It was. Yep, it was. And so Lewis Rich had the plant down in West Liberty for a lot of years, decided to close it. So within less than a year, they got a cooperative together and put that together, and it's now been going a little over 20 years as a cooperative. And so it's a great story in Iowa. We're raising tom turkeys because we're not doing whole birds for the holiday seasons or for other times of the year. So West Liberty and Tyson both do a lot of further processed items. So you go into a Subway and have a turkey sandwich. You go into a Jimmy John's and have a turkey sandwich. You go into the grocery store and find a Jimmy Dean turkey product in the breakfast section. That's all Iowa turkey. And so I love it when people say, well, gee, you know, I only eat turkey once a year at Thanksgiving. I'm like, oh, by the way, did you stop by Subway in the last month and have a turkey sandwich? Well, yeah. Oh, you had Iowa turkey. And they go, oh, of course. So, you know, the holiday birds is a huge part of our industry, but we've moved way beyond that into the holiday, non-holiday items like the deli meats and the breakfast sausages and even a lot of the fresh cuts. That's what I love about serving the turkey tenderloins down here is that, look, you can take a turkey breast meat, marinate it, grill that, and have that as a steak or in a bun. And we even give out the recipe. We have for, you know, 30-some years given out that recipe because we want people to go home and cook this and enjoy this at home as well. So lots of great ways to use the turkey. The fun thing we did 3 years ago, we won the new fair food contest with a turkey taco. And we called it Not Your Mama's Taco because it is not ground meat. It does not have cheese and lettuce on it. It is shredded turkey breast meat that is seasoned. We put a crunchy veggie slaw on that. and then a sweet salsa over the top of that. And so it has gone over wonderfully as people go, wait, there's a great new adaptation of how we can use more turkey in our diets and by adding even it into tacos. So that's the fun we have here at the food stand, is just to really kind of shock people a little bit and go, wow, I never thought of doing that with turkey.
Well, you've had in the last year the explosion of people looking at meat differently and looking at alternatives because of whatever reason, whether they don't like the way an animal is pampered when it is in those barns. But where's the discussion with turkey, and maybe it's higher up than that, where we're talking alternative meats and obviously you got to watch it. Right?
Oh,
you're paying attention. What are you watching?
Well, our national organization is very involved with the other commodity groups in Washington, D.C. And right now our focus is making sure that it's labeled correctly, so it's not labeled as a meat product, and that it has the proper inspection. So it has to meet the same quality standards that we have to meet in the animal production side of things. So that's really where our focus is at this time, is just to make sure that it's going to have the right labeling and the right inspection on it, and just continuing to learn about the process and all the steps and things involved with it, and to help people understand that we're a pretty clean label. It's turkey.
Yeah.
Versus a lot of other products if you want to look at the alternative meats. So we'll continue to work on the Hill and work with our regulatory agencies to make sure that this goes correctly.
And those agencies aren't only focused on that. There's other things that they're having to worry on. The other door, the next door down the office might be talking trade. That's another one that's been a major era. What does trade mean to Iowa turkeys?
Gosh, you know, trade is an issue that since 2015, when we had avian influenza, has really been on the top of our list. You know, all livestock groups, all animal producers need to be aware of what does a foreign animal disease mean to your business. And we saw that in the turkey industry. We still cannot export anything to China because we had avian influenza. And the funny thing is, you look at the system, nothing ever left the farm if they were avian influenza positive. So none of the meat, none of the feathers, none of that ever entered into commercial trade. And China still will not take our feathers, which people go, feathers, okay, well, that is for us a byproduct. There's people in a processing plant that collect the feathers. They clean the feathers. They're sent to China to make feather boas. They make fishing lures. They make arrows, bow and arrows, the quills on the arrows. All of those things are made out of turkey feathers. And China, a lot of times, provided the labor to create those products. So that market has really drop down for our industry as well as the meat products. They were in our top five of our import markets. I was fortunate enough to go over to China a couple years ago with the governor's trade mission. And, you know, there was great interest from some of the fast food restaurants, from some of the fast food pizza chains in China, where they were actually using turkey on a pizza.
Really?
Even in November.
Huh.
As, you know, as a, you know, pizza being an American-ish time of thing now. We kind of stole it from the Italians. And they were putting dark meat, smoked turkey on a pizza. And so there was interest in using those high-quality lean proteins of that younger generation in China. And so to still not be allowed to go into China with our products adds a whole different lens, I think, to the trade discussion as we talk about what is happening in Washington, D.C. on trade. We need someone to really be tough, I think, with China right now and to really make sure that we are fair at that table, because, you know, maybe it's not avian influenza next. Maybe it's, you know, mad cow disease or African swine fever or something like that. And, you know, I don't think any of our commodity groups can stand to be out of the China market for 3 to 5 years, which we have been now, because they just don't want to play with us. And so these are big, big topics for us right now.
Where does the best communication from? Is it from the Washington area, or is it that you're having to have people in China that are helping you in those discussions?
You know, of course, we keep talking with Ambassador Branstad.
Correct.
He knows how important this is to us in the Iowa turkey industry and to the U.S. turkey industry. A lot of it's still in D.C. and trying to make sure that this keeps happening and moving forward. So in general, my farmers have been very supportive of the tough love right now that we have going on with China, because we know we're not getting a good deal and we're not willing to shake hands and walk away and stay status quo. Something has got to change to help make sure that our future is a little bit more level.
In the week that we're recording this, just in the last 6 days, the president has really kind of thrown a wrench in what seemed to be tenuous already, and it looked pretty bleak. But then all of a sudden, it was, okay, no, we're going to hold off on those. But then China says, we're still going to go forward with them. So they're playing propaganda with you. Do you feel that there's a sense of, on an overall commodity sense, trying to just continue? They need our product. Are they running us down lower to just try to find a good deal and in the end not play fair?
You know, that's a very good speculation, I would say, on your
end. Sue Martin is who gave it to me after hearing her this morning. That's what she was floating, so
that's
I can't take claim for that.
Well, and, you know, it's hard to know exactly what they're thinking and what game they're wanting to play on this. So so it's a tough one. So for us right now, the USMCA is something we have to see get passed. We were in D.C. last month with my farmers and talked to all of the Iowa congressional delegation. I think they understand how important this is for us, but I think it creates that bigger picture. If we can get USMCA passed, it creates kind of that template of here's a successful program, and we can start pushing that in other countries as well. Because Mexico right now is our number one and always has been our number one trading partner. A lot of our dark meat products are going into Mexico. They'll blend those into making hams and into hot dogs and into other further processed products that a lot of citizens in Mexico enjoys. Canada, we see that as a great market because it's always been a controlled market with their turkey, that if we can bring more of the products in, which, remember I mentioned earlier, we're doing Subway, we're doing Jimmy John's, all of those companies, those are big companies as well in Canada. And so even for them to get the turkey products that they're used to in the U.S., it's harder to get in Canada. We see that that could be a really big boost for our Iowa companies to get some more trade going with Canada and get some of our products going into Canada that we're already producing. So we would like to see this USMCA passed. We would like to see the politics end to that, that it's not a Republican, it's not a Democratic issue, it's the right things for American citizens, and let's get this one passed. And so that's important.
And especially in rural districts where Democrats maybe didn't do so well 2 years ago, they're missing out on an opportunity if you listen to the Republican counterparts, especially in Congress, who say I had one congressman tell me, he says, I get if the shoe was on the other foot, I'd probably be doing the same thing.
Right.
But in the event where you and I last chatted at Secretary Vilsack's trade roundtable, the secretary, a Democrat, said, former secretary, said, we cannot, this is not about politics. Mm-hmm. This is about what's best for rural and all of Iowa and all of rural areas, not just in the state.
And that's the part that I think I get most baffled by. I mean, because this trade agreement, the USMCA has in there about environmental quality. It has about human rights and making sure fair labor is paid for and things. If this doesn't get signed, there's nothing at all even there. And so it may not be perfect for everybody, but my goodness, we've taken 5 steps forward. And if we don't sign this, we take 10 steps back. And so I think even the urban folks have as just as much into this, whether you want to talk about environmental and fair wages and keeping jobs and processing here in the U.S., that's just as important in this agreement. So I get very baffled of why this doesn't happen.
She's shaking
a pragmatic
her head, folks.
Person.
You should see Greta right now, left and right. Well, here's the thing, Greta. Where we're sitting right now, I'm not saying I could throw a cow chip that far. I'd be close because, you know, I was VIP champion. I don't want to rub it in or anything yesterday.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. there were all these politicians, all these Democrats that were coming through. I know you're busy in the stand and your people are busy in D.C., but how tempted are you to have stickers out as somebody leaves and says, we need USMCA, and walk those by those people? It's to that point where you've got to do the ground. The grassroots of it, right?
Right. It is. It is. And I think it's just everybody talking to their politicians and to those elected officials and saying, you know, this does make sense. You know, this is a good trade agreement. This is something more than we've ever seen before when it comes to what's in an agreement and the depth of that. And so let's just, you know, put on our common sense hat and take off our political hat and do what's right.
All right. So biggest issue moving forward in the next 12 months. Is it trade? Is it safety? Is it health?
You know, I would have to probably just say trade, just because that's right where we're at right now. I mean, You know, we continue to work on food safety, and we've had some issues in the turkey industry in the last year or so with some recalls. So we've got lots of task force work going on right now and trying to address that. I'm very proud that in the turkey industry, food safety is not a specific thing to any company. If I'm company A and I find out something that works as a good intervention or strategy, I share that with company B, C, and D. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, we all want consumers to have a good, safe, healthy turkey products. And so the industry is working a lot on the food safety side of things. Obviously, like you've mentioned, we're working a lot on the trade. Those are probably right there at the top of our list at this point.
All right, hardest question. How many turkey legs do you go through, you yourself, during a fair
at
run?
Our fair stand? Well,
I'm talking you, Greta.
Me? Yeah. How many do I eat?
Can you hold off on one a day?
Yes, I can. Because
you've been around it for a number of years.
But I love the tacos, so there's days I got to have my taco. The tenderloins are awesome, so I have those. And you know, even the drumstick, I love to cut that meat off the bone, and I put it into a bun and put a little mustard on it, and it's just the juiciest, most tender sandwich ever. So, I just enjoy it in lots of different ways. And, of course, there's always a few leftovers that end up in my freezer at home.
And so,
we get to enjoy that at my house as well.
Well, we enjoy it, and I know the people that come through, you see the shirts, and you're supporting Iowa and farmers in this country by eating at one of these stands.
It is. So, you know, and that's what the Iowa State Fair is all about. I mean, it's really bringing people together, celebrating the great Iowa spirit and agriculture. And we're pretty excited to, you know, been here for 36 years. I have a photo that I carry around in my notebook when I'm at the State Fair. It shows our stand that first year. We were pretty desolate out in this area, and the Iowa State Fair has done a great job of bringing more attractions, bringing more information and sites for people to enjoy while they're at the fair. And I think that's why in the last 36 years you've seen it grow and expand to the level that it is. And so great crowds coming through all week long, and the weather has been wonderful. And, you know, it's just a great Iowa tradition.
It is. And for the Iowa girl there in her time in this state, and turkey is popular all around the country. And so you're on a nice main strip. They put that new sidewalk in a few years ago. It's a lot easier to get. And the other thing about it is the shade that you have here during the majority of the day.
Yes.
But then come towards evening time, it does kind of barrel in here just a little bit. You got to retreat to the back side of the booth.
We do, but you know, we're right next to the Bill Riley stage, and so we get wonderful music and wonderful sounds coming from over there when you have all of the competition happening and some of their activities. And it's just fun to sit here and watch the fairgoers go by, listen to some good music, and enjoy some great turkey at the Iowa State Fair.
All right. Greta Irwin, thank you so very much
welcome.
For your time. Good to talk. And we'll check back in, and hopefully we've got some new topics to cover that aren't as unpromising right now as we currently sit here, and we'll see how this thing works out.
I agree. Thank you, Paul.
This has been a production of Iowa Public Television and the Market to Market TV show. I'm Paul Yeager. Any feedback, hit me up at paul.yeager@iptv.org. Thanks for listening.